Good Tuesday morning. Welcome. Do you ever find yourself frustrated that it seems like justice is elusive? You see people get away with crimes. You see innocent people ensnared in the justice system. And there are times when authorities actually get it right. We told you about this story several days ago when it first happened. And there's always some mystery because you never know, especially with the potential of political pressure and other factors that may come into play. You don't know how things are going to turn out for sure. However, we've got a pleasant outcome in a circumstance we told you about several days ago. Do you remember that woman who shot the escaped inmate? When the guy kicked her door in? Now we've officially learned she will not be charged. Now, a lot of people, you might think, well, this is pretty obvious. Well, it is kind of obvious. But obvious isn't so obvious here in the year 2018, is it? How many times do you see things occur that just don't make sense? So I've learned not to assume anymore. Here's what happened. Two inmates escaped a South Carolina jail earlier this month. One of them broke into a nearby home. Bruce Webb McLaughlin escaped from Pickens County Prison December 4th. He kicked in the back door of the home and was near the bedroom when he was shot and killed by the woman who lives in the home. Now the Pickens County Sheriff's Office has announced that homeowner would not face any criminal charges. Isn't this a good outcome? Decision made with guidance from the 13th Circuit Solicitor's Office. And here's what was communicated. It's the opinion of this office. The homeowner would be immune from prosecution for any charges relating to the shooting death of Bruce McLaughlin. Her actions in the matter are a textbook example of what type of actions the Protection of Persons and Property Act seek to provide absolute criminal immunity for. Very good. By the way, her identity has not been released by authorities. McLaughlin, 30-year-old guy, shot in the head, taken to an area hospital where he was pronounced dead. McLaughlin escaped from the detention center along with fellow inmate Timothy Cleveland Dill as they attacked two guards in a premeditated plan to escape. Within 30 minutes of escaping, Dill was arrested. It was around that time the shooting was reported by a 911 call from the homeowner. And we remind you, this is not some random homeowner. Some crazy southerner with a Bible. You know how us southerners are. We cling to our Bibles and our guns. But there's more. She's a trained concealed weapons permit holder. That's important. It also helped that Mr. McLaughlin was wearing an orange jumpsuit. I mean, what's going to happen if you see somebody with an orange jumpsuit bust in your door? You have a pretty good idea. I think there are only three words that are in your mind. You know what those three words are? Ready, aim, fire. Now, some people might think that's cruel. But honestly, not only that, he was armed with a metal knife. So the prosecutor also commended the homeowner. This is the shining example of what this lady did. She took the time to get her CWP, set herself up to be able to protect herself and not be harmed, killed, or raped or whatever. She came out on the good end of this, and the bad guy didn't. Isn't this a great end to a story? It's kind of like that cherry on top. A woman who simply is protecting life, liberty, and property. And she is vindicated. I love stories that end this way. If only. So many other circumstances. Coming up a little later on, we will talk about what's going on with our economy. Because there are some concerns. And these concerns extend beyond the stock market. We will have an expert joining us to provide some insight on this. Let me give you a heads up. You will want to listen very carefully, because I have come to the conclusion some time ago, and I've had this concern for quite some time, that we are overdue for an economic downturn. And this time around, this could be worse than 2008. That's my concern. So what can we do now to prepare for that? We'll have that conversation coming up in just a few minutes. Also, this whole idea of the sexes, how we're redefining everything. By the way, I've got to see if I still have. There was a post that I saw the other day that I just thought was brilliant. But it was making fun of what's going on with the gender wars. And someone was making the point that if we are basically redefining gender, and gender doesn't matter anymore, you've got to get rid of a whole lot of things, like sexual harassment, mansplaining. You got to get rid of all of these things, because if there's no male-female identity, none of these things matter anymore, do they? But boy, if I got a crazy story for you from across the pond, this one will absolutely drive you crazy. But it's not surprising, because as you know, this world is getting crazier and crazier as people take leave of their minds and buy into all kinds of crazy propaganda. By the way, also coming up today, this is sentencing day for Michael Flynn. And what is it that you would love to hear on your sentencing day before you go in to hear of your fate? How about this? President Donald Trump wished his former national security advisor good luck hours before he's sentenced in federal court for lying to the FBI. Mr. Trump says he's interested in hearing what Flynn says before a judge. Good luck today in court to General Michael Flynn. Will be interesting to see what he has to say despite tremendous pressure being put on him about Russia collusion in our great and obviously highly successful political campaign. There was no collusion! In any case, a message from Donald Trump communicated to Michael Flynn hours before his sentencing. That's scheduled for 11 o'clock this morning. If we get word on this during the course of this broadcast, we will pass that on to you. Coming up, fasten your seatbelts. We will talk about what's going on with Wall Street and the broader economy. Stay with us. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, we've been following the market these past few days, and man, it has been absolutely positively ugly. One of the thoughts that's been going through my mind, and in fact I've been following his post for the past few days to get some perspective on what is happening, and I've been trying to track him down for a while. It's great to have back with us a man who is watching this very closely for a lot of reasons. The CEO of Euro Pacific Capital, our good friend Peter Schiff. Good morning. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for welcoming me back.
Well, I want to talk about what's going on here with these markets. You know, it was interesting. We had a streak there going for a while. It looked like things were really on the upswing and lots of celebration, lots of jubilation. And now we've gotten into this downturn and it's been back-to-back losses. What in the world is going on here, Peter?
Well, you know, this is how bubbles deflate. I mean, we've had experience with bubbles here in the States. The central bank, the Federal Reserve, has blown several of them. They're serial bubble blowers. And unfortunately, this is the biggest bubble they've ever inflated. And so the consequences for the economy, the markets, now that they're popping, are extreme. I mean, because if you thought the 08 financial crisis was bad, the one that we're heading maybe for next year is going to be worse. And this next recession is going to be a greater recession than the great recession we had in 08 and 09.
Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I have a feeling that you're concerned that this has all been artificial, that if we had just let the markets do what they do in our broader economy, left it alone without federal interference, government interference, then all of this would have been less severe. Is that accurate to say?
Well, it would have been more severe in 2008 than it was had the Federal Reserve and the government stayed out. So we would have gone through a deeper recession at that time, but we would not be in the horrible shape that we're in now. And so what we're about to endure is going to be so much worse than what we would have endured had the government left us alone back in 08. But one of the things the government would have had to have done without the bailouts, they would have actually had to make some serious cuts to their own government spending. We would have had to reform entitlements, which means cutting entitlements. A lot of difficult political choices would have been made back in 08, 09, 010, but none of those choices were made because the Federal Reserve allowed everybody to kick the can down the road and defer those choices while the underlying problems got much worse. So now we have dug ourselves into a much, much deeper hole than the one we were in back then. And so getting out of it is going to be a lot more difficult.
What are the underlying problems?
Well, the underlying problems are that Americans, you know, do not save enough money. We don't produce enough. We don't invest enough. And we run huge budget deficits and huge trade deficits. And we're living on a leveraged economy, borrowed time. I mean, it's a gigantic bubble, and it's unsustainable. And at some point, everything implodes. What we need to do is we need to reallocate and allow our economy to restructure so that people, you know, save their money again so that we can produce things and that we can export things. And, you know, we need to go back to a real, vibrant industrial economy. We can't just be this service sector bubble economy. I mean, you can do that for a while, but at great long-term cost to your economic health. And, you know, we're about to pay those costs, you know, the time to pay the piper is at hand.
We're talking with Peter Schiff. One of the things that's really concerned me, and I've talked about this a number of times on this program, where are the messengers, especially in government, to communicate what you have been saying, Peter Schiff?
Well, the people in government are not there to communicate the truth. They're there to perpetuate the lies. They just want to, you know, stay in office. They want to get reelected. And you don't get reelected by telling people how bad things are and how they're going to have to, you know, get less from government. You get elected by promising something for nothing. And, you know, the problem is we're broke. You know, when we were a rich country, we could afford to give people something for nothing. We can't do that anymore. We can't borrow money from China so that we can give away free stuff to Americans.
This is all very logical. I mean, I can't imagine anybody within the sound of our voices right now who would have any problem with what you are saying. I mean, it's all pretty straightforward, but for some reason, this message seems to be completely lost right now.
Well, absolutely. It's lost on everybody. And, you know, I'm just trying to do the best I can now. I'm trying to educate people on my own podcast, The Peter Schiff Show, just to understand what's really going on. And when it all hits the fan, they're going to try to blame capitalism. They're going to try to blame maybe Trump or the tax cuts or deregulation. That's got nothing to do with it. This is a bigger problem. This is this comes way before Trump. This is a failure of government and central banking, not of the free market. But what I'm really trying to do is get people to protect their own wealth. I mean, in this next crisis, Americans are going to lose more of their wealth than at any point, including the Great Depression. It's going to be inflation that's going to wipe people out as the dollar collapses and the cost of living skyrockets. But people need to take action now, and that's what I'm doing with my clients at Euro Pacific Capital, is helping people prepare to not only preserve their wealth by moving their money outside of the U.S. and outside of U.S. dollars and taking advantage of the opportunities that exist in some of the emerging markets and other developed economies that are in much better shape than the U.S., getting into precious metals and mining stocks. I mean, people can not only preserve their wealth, but greatly enhance their wealth if they make the right investment choices now. I mean, you don't have a lot of time. I mean, we're talking maybe months, but you got to get your house in order. And if it's not, or if you're in the U.S. stock and bond market, you're going to lose a lot of money unless you take action. And so people should check out Euro Pacific Capital, europac.com, and give us a call, because I think whatever we can do, I want to try to make sure that as I can save as many Americans as I can from going broke, because we're going to need to have some Americans who aren't broke to help rebuild the country.
Now, I'm curious, in the couple of minutes we have left here, what are some specific things that we can do right now to prepare?
Yeah, well, you got to get out of U.S. bonds, get out of U.S. stocks. If you can sell real estate, you can sell that too, because all U.S. assets are going to get marked down. But then you don't want to stay in the dollar, because the dollar is going to get really marked down. So you got to get into foreign assets. You got to get income denominated in foreign currencies, especially if you're planning on retiring. I mean, most Americans are never going to retire, and even the ones who are retired now, in 5 years, they're probably going to be back in the workforce. I'm not really sure what they're going to be doing, but if they want to eat, they're going to have to work. But if you want your money to be able to provide a meaningful source of purchasing power, you got to take action now, and that's what I'm doing. I'm creating portfolios for my clients at Euro Pacific Capital where I'm managing their money, and I'm getting it out of harm's way. I'm putting their money into overseas assets where they can derive income coming in from non-dollar sources. So as the dollar collapses, their income will rise, and now they can use those higher incomes to afford to sustain themselves with a higher cost of living.
Well, in the last minute or so we have left, I'm kind of curious how you think the developments that you're expecting over the next few months and beyond to impact the political scene.
Well, I think, unfortunately, there's very dire political consequences, because I think this whole thing is going to get blamed on Trump and the Republicans and tax cuts and deregulation. That's what they did in 08, because Bush was president. And so Obama kind of came in, blaming the crisis on Bush and the Republicans. And, of course, the problem existed under Clinton, but it blew up under Bush. Well, this problem is blowing up under Trump. And we're going to make a hard turn to the left. I mean, much sharper than the move to Obama. We're going to have a Democratic Socialist president, which is basically a socialist. Forget about the Democratic part. And so we're going to have a socialist president and a socialist Congress. And look out. I mean, because taxes are going to go through the roof, and the government's going to start supplying all sorts of things to the voters, free education.
Yep. And all of it is going to exacerbate the problem we already have. We're out of time. Peter Schiff, thanks a lot. Let's talk again soon, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Want to get your thoughts on this. Stay with us. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, I want to listen in on a news conference going on right now with Governor Cooper. Roy Cooper, who is speaking about a veto. He is going to veto an elections board bill, and he's addressing some other issues. Let's listen in just for a bit.
I think we should let investigators do their job and let the Board of Elections do its job and make this decision. That's what they are required by law to do, and we should allow that process to go forward. I think if this bill goes into effect after the effective date, this election potentially could be hampered if this goes into law.
What are your thoughts on having a new primary in the 9th? There's a question about whether that might be unconstitutional.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think this is a decision that the elections board should make. There should be an investigation into both the primary and the general election, and the elections board would make that decision. If the legislature would do what I suggest and take out section part 4 of this legislation and pass a new bill, then the state board of elections would have the ability to call a new primary if it believed that the evidence showed that that should happen. Yes.
Comments there from Roy Cooper, who is speaking about vetoing an elections board bill, but he's also addressing that situation we've talked about before, the 9th Congressional District, where there are some irregularities that occurred. That hearing does not take place until January, but you heard the governor there saying that once they investigate, they should have the ability to make whatever decisions are necessary in order to make this situation right. So if there's anything else that is important for you to know about this, we'll certainly pass it on to you here a little bit later on. Another big story that unfortunately we're covering today. I don't know what word. Is there one word we can use to describe last night? I went through yesterday evening with a little bit of a hope that game last night might end between New Orleans and the Panthers with a 7-6 win. I thought, you know, this held at 7-6 for so long. I thought, wow, this is this would be absolutely awesome if this holds. And yet today, because we do have another Panthers loss, now I am looking at something in front of me where someone's saying sitting Cam Newton won't be an easy call, but it would be the right one. A call, and I'm sure there are others chiming in saying it's time. It is time, past time, for Cam Newton to sit down. So we've brought back our good friend, Chris McClain, Mac Attack over at WFNZ. Good morning, man.
What's up, Vince? Sounds like you're hearing from the same sort of feedback we've heard this morning.
I bet.
And I got to be honest with you. Like, I love Cam. I love the fact that he goes out there and tries to gut it out, you know, and tries to be a leader, and I'm going to play with the shoulder pain. But clearly he's not right. I mean, that performance of – I mean, seriously, I made a joke earlier today. The worms at Bank of America Stadium, the population has been cut down by 50%. I mean, he couldn't throw the ball 10, 12 yards without bouncing it there. And, I mean, he's just physically not himself. The Saints knew it. They knew we were no threat to throw downfield. With the playoff chances now literally, according to ESPN, at 0.7%. Not
oh
seven.
Oh, my goodness. 0.7%. 7.
Aren't we at a point where your franchise quarterback has to be rested and that – arm, the commodity of that arm is taken care of. And then you play a guy in Taylor Heinicke the last two games, and you find out what you have in him. I think that's the smart play, and I got to be honest, I'm not so sure Ron Rivera's going to do it for whatever reason.
See, no, here, that was going to be my next question. What is the deal here? Where is his head? Why is he stuck on keeping Cam in the game?
I don't know. I mean, I get it when you're, you know, he's your guy, he's your former MVP, he's your franchise quarterback. I get it, like, if you're still fighting for the playoffs. And they did fight last night, and that defense was amazing last night against Drew Brees. I mean, there are, you know, accolades to hand out, right? But when it gets down to it now that your playoff chances are all but gone, it's the smart thing to do. And I don't get it with Ron Rivera. Now some people have the theory that he feels like, as we've discussed before, he's coaching for his job. And he wants Cam out there, you know, to coach for his job. But, Vince, I got to be honest. Like, what's worse, to sit there and keep losing that way and possibly do damage to your future? How does that look to David Tepper? Or do you want to just sit down with David Tepper and explain to him he hasn't been himself? You can see it too, boss. He hasn't been himself for a few weeks. I think we got to sit him down for these next 2 weeks. Like, I think then it's almost becomes, I don't want to say an excuse, but it becomes kind of almost a justification for the performance of the team over the last few weeks. So if people think that he's just – if Ron is thinking, I got to have Cam out there, my job's on the line, I don't even know if that's the right way to play it if you are trying to save your
hide. It's really not,
you know,
logical. Not logical at all. And there were some things that really did work well last night. I mean, to see –
that defense was great.
That defense was awesome last night.
They were. Now, here's the – now, in this day and age of sports fans and how cynical we are, of course, we're all thinking – man, where was that all season? Hadn't seen that since maybe the opener against Dallas. But it was nice to see those guys fired up. I do think Ron Rivera, for all the criticism he's taken this defense over. He's calling the plays defensively, and he's done it for the last 2.5 games. And they're giving up an average of 18 points every four quarters, which is, you know, 18 points a game, which is a great number. So he clearly has had an impact. They fought for their coach last night, Mario Addison, defensive end afterwards. Had a didn't use family language when he said it, Vince, in the locker room afterwards, but he wanted to make it known, I'm playing for my coach. You know, my coach wants to win, I want to win for him. So he kind of got his coaches back, and the way they played, it did look like they were playing for him. Luke Kuechly flying around, Thomas Davis looked like the Thomas Davis, you know, that we've seen when he was younger. I mean, he was flying around the field. James Bradbury had a hand in a couple of turnovers. They got some pressure up front on Drew Brees, which we often never do. So those things were good to see. To me, it's just a damn shame that we're sitting here with a quarterback that is damaged like he is in his shoulder, because that's a game where it wouldn't have taken but a couple more field goals to win it.
Yep.
And as much as Cam was struggling to make any throws downfield, Vince, if Cam protects the ball and doesn't throw that, you know, ball to Funchess, if DJ Moore protects the football and realizes, okay, I'm surrounded, the run's over, let me go down. If we just get field goals out of those two possessions, you got a chance to steal that football game. That's how good your defense was.
It was,
you know,
within reach.
It was.
Within reach. And that was what was so frustrating watching this last night. You know, one of the other things that stands out to me is as I was watching this game last night, I mean, this New Orleans team, they just know how to run out the clock. I mean, I was just watching that clock, and it's like, there's going to be nothing left here for the Panthers at the very end.
No, I mean the only reason they got a shot is because of the amazing play by Bradberry and TD.
You know,
to force the fumble at the one and it goes into the end zone. But other than that, you're right. And I think the commentators, who quite honestly annoyed me at times throughout the game because they were not really explaining to the nation what's wrong with Cam. They were criticizing but not explaining the injury situation. But I thought they nailed it. New Orleans number one in the league when it comes to time possession overall and time possession in the fourth quarter. And we couldn't get a stop sooner to give us more time. We had to use our timeouts. So by the time Cam and company got it back, and I will say this, and I'm sure Vince, you've noticed it, and all your listeners have that like the Panthers. As much as I love Ron and Cam, it can be painful watching those guys try to orchestrate a 2-minute drill late in the first half or late. And I know with Cam, he couldn't throw it downfield last night, so that's part of it. But just traditionally, like Ron. Madden players. I got a 9-year-old son that plays Madden and knows when to take a timeout in a 2-minute drill. And Ron, let's 12 seconds run off. Oh, it's been a frustrating stretch.
I hear you. I hear you. Maybe he's listening. Maybe they'll figure something out. Chris McClain, thanks a lot for joining of Justice. And this is a totally different form of it. We'll share this coming up. Also want to tell you about a developing story before we go to your calls. You remember Martha McSally? She was running for the Senate in Arizona. She lost that race. Well, it seems like she's going to serve in the Senate anyway. Arizona's Governor Doug Ducey has announced he's going to appoint her to the Senate. This is somewhat of a consolation prize. This is the seat vacated by John McCain, who passed away. So this is a story that's just developed the past few minutes. She will take the seat, Martha McSally, of John McCain, who passed away. Let's go out to a call from Jim in Lincolnton. Good morning.
Yeah, I have some comments to make on the economic situation.
Yes, sir.
I'm 78 years old, and I've seen a lot of things. First of all, if the economy is going to the point where the dollar becomes progressively worth less and less, borrow as much money as you can because you pay it back with cheaper dollars.
Okay.
Secondly, you see all these ads, buy gold because your paper money will soon be worthless. Has it ever occurred to people who wonder why, if the paper money is going to be worthless, why would they want to change it for their valuable gold? Third, if you're going to buy gold, buy the $5 gold pieces because how would you make change for a $50 gold piece? And last, the essentials are food, shelter, and clothing. Those are the and medical care. Those are the things you must have regardless of the economy. So if you have a skill like repairing automobiles when people can't afford to buy a new one, or a skill at being a good plumber, you may not get as much money in dollars, but there will be a job for you. So learn your skills. Concentrate on the essential skills, food, shelter, clothing, and medical care. And that's about all I can tell you.
Hey, I want to ask you, Jim, do you share, I mean, and I know there can be a lot of debate. In fact, we were having some discussion and debate about this in studio, about the wisdom of what to do with stocks, that sort of thing. And people may have different approaches and different answers for how they approach this. Do you agree, though, that we're heading toward a downturn?
We probably are. The Fed's got control over that, and they don't like Trump very well. If they raise the interest rates enough, they can bring the economy down. But the Fed's never been audited, and it should be, because nobody really knows what the Fed does. Congress decides who the head of the Federal Reserve is, but the Federal Reserve banks actually control the currency, and they're the ones who profit in the long run against that sort of thing.
Isn't it still crazy? Here we are in the year 2018, and people still have not figured out we don't even have control over our own currency.
Well, currency, time is money, but money is time. Money represents the time it took you to earn it. And so if you can look at it that way, the main thing is to have a skill that's marketable. And if you've got that, you'll always have work of some kind.
No matter what happens.
Because people can't buy things, they're going to get them fixed. Try to find a shoemaker today.
Try to find what again?
A shoemaker, a shoe repair.
Oh, yes, yes.
How about a good mechanic who actually knows how to fix a car instead of replacing modules?
Exactly.
Invest your time in gaining skills that will have value regardless of what happens, provided they involve food, shelter, clothing, and medical care.
And the other part of this, worst case scenario, you can always barter those skills, right?
Right. That's exactly right. You can trade your skills for something that you need. You see it on Antique Roadshow. Somebody traded a platinum cigarette case for a pie or something like that. You can't eat a platinum cigarette case. That's the reason.
Exactly. Well, very wise insights, Jim. It's been great talking with you, sir, and do call again sometime. Yeah, I'd love to get more of your thoughts on what's ahead. Some of this is predictable and reactionary. Over on the text line, why does Maxine Waters want to impeach Barney Fife? We've been laughing about that for quite some time in the open, where it does sound like, impeach Barney Fife! Saying impeach 45. This is too funny. Alan, out of Greer. Hoping General Flynn's judge throws out the charges with prejudice and sends a message to Mueller. Aha. Uh-huh. And there are some vulgar messages on here to me, which are obviously centered around people who do not know what manhood is. Why don't you go figure that out instead of sending stupid text to people on the text line? What was the purpose of the sarcastic tone in reading the Trump tweet? Well, I've got to tell you, I don't know that I'd be encouraged about getting a tweet about my sentencing from the president. I don't know. Does that give you a good, warm, fuzzy feeling? No. It wouldn't give me one. Just being honest. Much more as we continue our broadcast. Stay with us.